Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you do speak to us, that you're a speaking God, you're alive. God who wants us to listen. So we pray now that you teach us what it means to listen. Not just hearing, not just paying attention, but truly what is listening as your word tells us. We want to understand what it means for us and how she put it into practice. So we ask these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Okay, so we are looking at, we've been doing a series on loving your church. And Ollie's been preaching for the last 8 weeks on loving your church, what it means to do that. And during the Wednesday Bible studies, some of you will know that we've been going through this book called 6 Steps to Loving Your Church, which tries to follow roughly the order in which Ollie's been preaching. So this is where we are so far. So the first week we started talking about committing to the church, what it means to be part of the church, why God thinks that the church is so important. Second week we looked at encouraging, and then singing, fellowshipping, praying, giving, serving, and last week Ollie talked about belonging. This week, which is week 9, as we've tried to suggest, it's about listening, and I've entitled this, the subtitle is 4 Things to Improve Our Listening. 4 Things to Improve Our Listening. Now, if I was to start by asking you this question, what is a healthy church? What would you think? I'm not asking you to shout out any answers, but just to get you thinking. What do you think a healthy church is? What do you think about quality of the preaching, or perhaps you might think about quality of the relationships? What would you think? And if I were to ask you, what is a healthy church member? What do you think that would be? What is a healthy church member? Now, as you can see from the pictures I've put up there, there are two pastors have written books on those very topics. They're not necessarily the only answers that one could give, but they, as pastors of churches in America, the first one being a church in Washington, D.C., and the second one is, I think, a pastor in the Cayman Islands, they've written what they view as what are the important things of being a healthy church and a healthy church member. So this is what their view. The first one that he talks about, what is the mark of a healthy church? First thing he talks about is good preaching. And then he goes on to talk about good Bible theology and a good understanding, a biblical understanding of the gospel. So I focused there just on the preaching, the fact that there is someone who is speaking the very words of God, as we heard in the pre-service readings from 1 Peter 4:11. The pastor or the preacher aims to do that, to speak the very words of God. And we've heard that in the readings as well, that God is a speaking God. And in the second book, the second pastor has written that the first mark of a healthy church member is to be a good listener. So let's look at that. I showed you this picture earlier for some of you who weren't here early enough. This picture is a picture of the good shepherd, who is the shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He's protecting his sheep. He's also the gate of the sheep. And this is how typically in the Middle East that the shepherd would look after the sheep. He would allow only the sheep to go in and would not allow wolves to go into that sheep pen. So he would stay there. He would not run away from the wolves. He would protect the sheep. So that's the picture that we're looking at from John chapter 10. So this is these are the 4 things that I will focus on. This is the outline of our message today. So what is listening? We'll think about what is listening. And it's not just about listening in the context of being a good listener. You know, we talk about listening in the context of our relationships, but this is about biblical listening. Second thing I'll talk about is, when do we listen? What stops us listening? And how can we listen better? So what is listening? When do we listen? What stops us listening? And how can we listen better? Now, when Ollie first gave me this topic a few weeks ago, there's so much about listening that you could talk about, to be honest, I struggled a little bit as to try to focus on what I should say and what is biblical listening. And we've heard from this passage here that listening is really about a relationship. Let me direct you to the passage in John chapter 10 that we looked at. So look at verses 4 and 5. So first point is that listening is about a relationship, in this case a relationship with Jesus. So look at verse 4. So let me start a little bit earlier. So the gatekeeper, and this is verse 3, opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. So in verse 3, it talks about listening to God's voice. And it talks about God calling his own sheep by name. By name means he knows us individually. So this is about a relationship. Again, in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. It's a two-way thing. It's not just that God knows us, but we know him as well. It's about a relationship. So the first thing is that biblical listening is about a relationship. The second thing is that biblical listening is really about obedience. It's not just about paying attention, but actually it's about following our Saviour. Look at verses 4 and 5 again. He calls out his own sheep, that's Jesus, calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now in the Middle East, the shepherds, I understand, don't drive their sheep. The sheep follow them. He goes out ahead of them. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. So we're following in the footsteps of Jesus. And if you look at John chapter 14 and verse 15 and 23, John, a few chapters later, talks about obedience and love. He says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. That's what chapter 14 tells us. So relationship, obedience, and the third thing is that it's about content. Biblical listening means that God is telling us something important. There's an important message, or an important content to what he's telling us. Look at verse 3, and again at verse 16. The sheep listen to his voice. Verse 16, they too listen to my voice. So when it says God's voice, what does that mean? Does it mean that God is singing to us? Even if he's singing to us, it means obviously that God is telling us something. And how does he tell us something? He's speaking to us primarily through his word. Yeah. So relationship, obedience, and content. And if there's nothing else that you remember about this message, this slide here is what hopefully you should take away from me. Those 3 points about what listening means in the Bible. So when we, the second point now is, when do we listen? Now obviously we all sometimes get distracted. Maybe you're distracted now. Perhaps you might be thinking about things that happened during the week. And the question is, you know, when do we listen? And so we need to talk a little bit about the practicalities of listening. So I put up there a picture of a gear stick. A gear stick, the relevance of this illustration is that sometimes when we're driving along, we put the gear into first gear or second gear, and sometimes it's in neutral or perhaps even in reverse. But the point is that our spiritual lives are like that sometimes. Sometimes they're in first gear and we're going at very slow speed. Perhaps sometimes it's in neutral, we feel we're not getting anywhere. But the engine is still on. Our spiritual lives should still be on. The opposite of that, when our lives are not working well and perhaps we're far from God, is that maybe we've switched off the engine. Have we done that in our lives? Or are we trying to keep the engine on, the spiritual lives of our, in gear? Or perhaps sometimes we hit traffic and we have to be in neutral. Unlike a car, we can't switch off our engines, our spiritual engines. We have to have it in gear. So when do we listen? So sometimes we're listening with full attention when we are, let's say, doing a Bible study, or perhaps when we're listening to a message. Or perhaps we are maybe listening in a biblical sense, we're not reading the Bible, but perhaps we are at work, we're focusing on our work. But nevertheless, all the truths that we've learned during the Bible studies are still there at work. We're still trying to put them into practice in our work. Or, when we're feeding our families, we are looking after them. We're still trying to do what pleases God. We're still trying to obey. We're still trying to put the content of what we've learned into practice. So what's the opposite of that? What happens when we stop listening? Well, remember I said that slide, relationships, obedience, content. So we stop listening when we don't value our relationships. Or we stop listening when we choose, or perhaps we, by negligence, stop obeying God. Or perhaps we stop obeying when we take the content of God's word, we don't take it seriously. Perhaps we're distracted. We think that God's word is not really that relevant for our situation. We're not putting in the effort to try and see how it applies to us. Let me read to you a quote. It's a fairly long quote from Eugene Peterson. Eugene Peterson is a pastor. He's also the author of the Message Bible. And this is what he writes. He says, "What would we think of a pollster?" And it's very relevant given that we've just been watching the US election. But this is a pollster who is looking to find out how the American people think about a TV program. What would we think of a pollster who issued a definitive report on how the American people felt about a new television special if we discovered later that he had interviewed only one person who had seen only 10 minutes of the program? We would dismiss his conclusions as frivolous. Yet, that is exactly the kind of evidence that too many Christians accept as the final truth about many much more important matters, matters such as answered prayer, God's judgment, God's forgiveness, eternal salvation. The only person they consult is themselves, and The only experience they evaluate is the most recent 10 minutes. But we need other experiences, the community of experience, the brothers and sisters in the church, the centuries of experience provided by our biblical ancestors. A Christian who has David in his bones as King David, Jeremiah the prophet in his bloodstream, Paul, that's Paul the apostle, in his fingertips, and Christ in his heart, will know how much and how little to put on his own momentary feelings and the appearance and the experience of the past week. And that's from a book called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, if you're interested to continue reading that. And that's the last sentence there, I think, is very appropriate. Some of us may have had very difficult weeks. We may have feelings that are interfering with our ability to focus at the moment. Maybe our gear sticks are not in gear at the moment. Maybe we're in neutral. But nevertheless, we can take something away with us. Perhaps we can try to evaluate what's happened during this week. Maybe a few of you might know that this last week has been quite a difficult one for my family and me. We had sewage on our bathroom floor for many hours on Thursday morning, and had an inch of sewage water that was flowing out of our toilet, and had another difficult day on Friday. I'll spare you the details. But thank God that we can put these experiences, these feelings, in the context of what God has done for us. So this is just simply reiterating what I just said. So what stops us from listening? Obedience. Sometimes what stops us from obeying God is perhaps the temptations. You see there on the right, a slightly funny picture of a wolf in sheep's clothing. Obviously, in real life, the wolf doesn't actually appear like that, but tries to tempt us into thinking that it's not really that harmful. So in verse 5 of the passage, it talks about the sheep do not follow a stranger's voice because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Now, have you allowed strangers' voices to become so familiar that you don't think that they're strange anymore? That's the challenge for us. Are we not obeying because we think that a stranger's voice, perhaps the voices of the world that are telling us things, that they don't seem very strange anymore? And Matthew tells us in his gospel, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. So that's where we get this expression in English, wolf in sheep's clothing. So we've talked about these four things. What can we do? What is listening? When do we listen? What stops us from listening? And now, let's try and think very practically. How can we listen better? We all want to know what it is to listen better. Okay, so I've given you the bad news, so to speak. The bad news is that obedience is difficult. A relationship with God is difficult. In fact, the Bible tells us that a relationship with God without Jesus, as Christians, we believe that a relationship is impossible. We cannot, unlike other religions, we cannot come to God. God has made that possible for us through Jesus Christ. The first thing we can do is to acknowledge the bad news. The bad news is we don't have a relationship apart from Jesus. And we must admit that we are all poor listeners. That's the first step. Let's look at verse 7 of John chapter 10. Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Now, the context of this passage is that Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, and you'll see that in verse 1. And this is actually his last public address before he's crucified. And he's speaking at the feast of what is now called Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the Jewish feast. It's a lesser feast day, which is commemorating the date on which 200 years prior to when Jesus is speaking here, the temple had been desecrated and it had been rededicated as a place for worship. And the Feast of Hanukkah is a time, according to what commentaries say, when people would discuss what is going on with the leadership, things that are... So they would talk about good shepherds and good leaders and so on. So Jesus uses this opportunity at the Feast of Hanukkah to talk about what people have talked about for the last 200 years, about what is a good shepherd. And he says, actually, all those who have come before me have not been good shepherds. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep, and I am the gate. So that's the context. So the second thing, as with all things that we do, is that we must admit, we must throw ourselves onto God's grace. We need God's saving grace. But we also need each other's help. So look at verses 11 and 17. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We've heard a lot about that. The good shepherd is not simply one who gives us a good example. It's saying here that he dies for his sheep. And we know that this means that he is our saviour. He's not simply our good shepherd. Verse 17. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life. I'll need to take it up again. Sorry, just verse 16. I must bring in the other sheep. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now, we all know how hard the Christian life is. We all need each other's help to listen better. We cannot do this alone. This is a joint effort. It's a community effort. And because it's hard, what I would encourage you to do is that to do this one thing, which is to focus on one thing that you can do each day. Now, over 20 years ago, as a young man, I worked as a volunteer for YWAM, which is Youth with a Mission. I helped for about a year with a drug and alcohol rehabilitation center. It was a center that tries to get people to leave their life of drugs and alcohol behind. And it was a residential program, meaning that the drug addicts and the alcohol addicts would come and live in this home, which was run by Christians and volunteers, over a period, and they had to commit for a period of 6 months. And over that six-month period, we would go through a Christian version of this, the Alcoholics Anonymous 12-step program. And for any of you who know about the 12-step program, it's now become very secularized, of course, but what we try to do is to try to get people whose lives were messed up by drug abuse and alcohol abuse to do one thing each day. Okay, you can't perhaps stay sober for 6 months at a time, but you can try and do it for one day. Do it for today. Try and put it into practice, that one thing for today. So, what is that one thing that we will do today? What one thing will you take away? Will you think about the relationship you have with God, with your Savior? Is it in a good state? Is there something that you need to do to fix it? Are we obeying God? Now, I've said to you that the bad news is that obedience is difficult, perhaps even impossible without Christ. But it's also that God gives us his grace to listen. He helps us to obey. And are we availing ourselves? Are we allowing God's grace to work in our lives, to help us to obey? Are we practicing biblical obedience, biblical listening? Well, what about the content? Are we saturating ourselves? Are we thinking about God's word? Are we trying to fill our minds with good content so that when the stresses of our lives, I mean, in our case, I told you earlier that we had sewage all over our floor, and in fact, very often we do have messy things in our lives. We do have sewage in our lives. We perhaps have grown very used to covering it over, putting on a brave face or perhaps a professional face. But the truth of the matter is, the gospel message is that when God sees us, he sees that, in fact, we are all our righteousness is as filthy rags, the Bible tells us. Meaning that, in fact, we are living in sewage. Our lives are sewage. We have rubbish in our lives. So the only way that God can deal with that is through his word, in community, through his grace. So are we filling our lives with good content? So let's try and focus on doing that, one of these things today, and perhaps maybe another thing on another day, and try and see what we can do so that we can make sure that our spiritual lives are in gear. We might be in neutral now, but let's make sure that our engines, our spiritual engines, are not switched off, but that we are trying to move ahead, we're trying to get it into gear. So let me finish with this prayer, which perhaps you can pray along with me if you want. It's a prayer for God's saving grace as we finish this message. God's saving grace and his preserving grace. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, I confess, as you can read along with me if you like. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, I confess that I am a poor listener. By myself, I cannot have a relationship with you, and I cannot obey you. Your commandments and teachings are too hard. The content of your word is impossible to apply. But thanks be to you for giving us your Son Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who has given us relationship with you, obeyed you perfectly, and helps us to understand and apply your word. We praise you for being our Savior, helping us to love, obey, and cherish what you tell us. Give us your saving grace and your preserving grace, we pray. Amen. Okay, let's let's finish with our closing song.